You are now listening to Extra Time with Dan and Chris from the Sports Heads. Gotta love a little extra time.
Welcome to another episode of the Extra Time. This now is our NFL edition. We're not joined by one of our regulars, but I am joined by my boy from another mother, my brother from another mother, the boy across the pond, my dude, my guy. How you doing, Chris?
Oh man, I feel special. I felt good, man.
Well, I gotta make up because last time you were complaining about I was showing Carly too much love, so you know, I gotta make up.
I'm always yanking your chain, man. So that's the fact. You know, you're my younger brother, man. I gotta make sure you always on cue. This is a big brother in me, you know. But nah, it's always good to rock out with you, man, no matter what we doing, basketball, football. And I'm glad we're gonna talk about the Super Bowl because I told you what was gonna happen, as a big brother should, and the little brother went ahead and thought that he knew a little better, and he went ahead and he tried to pick Mahomes and the young boys, and we gonna talk about that. Yeah, so I'm happy to be on here talking a little NFL because I had the right pick. I don't know if you could say the same about yourself, little bro.
Before we move on to that, there is breaking news in the UK. Chris, you know Weetabix.
I'm sorry.
You know Weetabix. Yeah, the Weetabix cereal.
No, inform me. I'm not sure about what that. I don't know.
Okay, so Weetabix, Weetabix, yeah, is a cereal. So it's just like sort of like it comes in like a little lump shape, like kind of circular, but elongated circular shape. Basically, it's just wheat. Okay. Now it's a cereal, but it's basically imagine like shredded wheats combined into one. I'm pretty sure Weetabix is a thing in the US, or at least people in the US knows it. However, now I know the US don't really do baked beans for breakfast. Why? I don't know. It's one of the great baked beans stuff. We are going to go Super Bowl, people. Trust me. Bear with me. But that being said, what Weetabix have decided to do is to partner with Heinz Baked Beans and create baked beans on Weetabix as a breakfast meal. Now for me, I'm outraged because that is horrendous, and it's a new UK thing right now. I mean, we love our baked beans, we love our Weetabix. Someone decided to put it together. It's horrible. Yeah, they need to be sacked.
I was just getting over that you guys do beans on toast, and now you're talking about Weetabix and beans. What's going on over there? This quick kind of quarantine combination is going on over there in the UK, bro.
Hey, it's horrendous. I can just put it that way. It's horrendous.
So who invited you on having one of these meals? Who asked you to do this?
Mate,
who put you on?
It wasn't really someone put me on.
You get to blast them now.
No, I didn't stuff. It wasn't me. It wasn't anything like that. But let me just tell you right now, Chris, that is just one of the most shocking breakfast meals I've ever seen in my life. And
you guys are gonna have to figure that one out, bro.
Yeah, we are.
Just like your Super Bowl pick.
I was hoping I could distract you instead of going to Super Bowl. But we're going to Super Bowl. We're going to
No. No, we're gonna go ahead and figure out why you picked Deshaun. I'm getting confused. Why you picked Patrick Mahomes over Tom Brady? And you saw what happened. I eloquently laid out what was gonna happen to this guy. And we had four witnesses on the show, including yourself. And I told you the O-line was going to run this guy down. They were going to cover T. Hill. I said that Kelsey was going to be... Well, I think he was a factor if you look at the numbers, 10 for 133. I mean, they just didn't get in the end zone because that line of beasts was just coming after Mahomes. And Brady casually just went and did what he had to do. No turnovers, 3 touchdowns, 201 yards. Didn't have to do that much. Running game did just enough. Bruh, what do you have to say, man?
Man, all I have to say is I should never count Tom Brady out. And you know what? When... I should never count Tom Brady out. I should put it that way. Because...
You counted him out against Aaron Rodgers. You picked A. Rodgers. You picked that bad man.
You know what it was? It's because Aaron was talking about how... You know what, you never had a playoff game at Lambeau. I can't wait to have a playoff game at Lambeau. In his career, he's never really had one. Now he had one, and then boom. I thought, with a cold, Brady being old, I mean, to be fair, he did have three turnovers in the second half, but I thought the cold would affect someone like who you know, as you get older, you know, the cold affects the limbs, it affects your bones, it affects your body. That's why we want to be in sunny Africa, you know, where just the heat just makes you feel better, or sunny Florida for some people. But, you know, that's what I thought. And going on to Super Bowl, look, I'll be honest, the refs, we're a little bit biased to Tampa Bay. I'll give you, if we're going to be honest. No. There was a couple. The Tyrann Mathieu one in the end zone was stupid. That was never going to catch the ball. Secondly, Tyrann Mathieu and Tom Brady should have got called for unsportsmanlike conduct. That's the second. Thirdly, the Chris Evans one, it was never going to happen. It was just, he tripped over his own legs. That being said,
Mike Evans, not Chris Evans. That was egregious.
Mike Evans.
The whole, I mean, bro. The game was too wide for it to say, like, a call mattered.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, we can be ticky. I think we were ticky-tack about the refs because Kansas City played so putrid, you know, and we didn't expect that. So we're like, hold on, it must be something else. It's the refs. Look, he was holding. None of the calls were egregious against Tampa Bay, where you're like, come on. It wasn't like the Saints when they got...
I'll give you that, Chris.
Although
some of the calls did help Tampa's offense stay on the field. That's all I want to say about that. I'm not saying I agree with you. The defense played lights out. Doesn't make a difference whether the calls were not or not. That defense shot Mahomes out of scoring a touchdown for the first time since high school. That defense was legit. That defense was great. That defense played, covered the same scheme the entire game, though, which made me a bit like, what's going on? They played cover two. If anyone that understands that, that's high safety. So they blitz only four people most of the time. They cover with the linebackers in the middle and put more safeties on the pitch. For people who don't really understand sort of the difference between like cover two and cover zero and cover four, that's basically what cover two is, basically. You're predicating on the fact that they're going to pass it. So you're basically backloading the backfield. And for me, Kansas didn't do anything to... I thought you got Eric Bieniemy, you got Andy Reid. They're showing you the defense. They haven't done anything. They blitzed the least in Todd Bowles, you know, sort of, you know, era as a defensive coordinator. I'm like...
Five times only.
That's the only time they blitz.
They blitzed five times.
They couldn't run the ball.
And this dude ran around for 500 yards before he was either sacked or he threw the ball away or whatever came from... He was under pressure so much, man.
No, I agree.
Like, all he saw was, as soon as the ball came, is people in his face. They lost their offensive line was depleted, and obviously, the Kansas City was no match for what was happening. From the jump, if any quarterback, I don't care who you are, if you don't have time, you're gonna get sacked. But shout out to Whitfield. Shout out to him. You know. He was able to give Hill the peace sign, you know, and kind of retribution for what happened in week 12. I thought that was pretty cute, cool. He got the flag, but I was like, bruh, I would have done the same thing, man. We were already up 31-9, and your team looked like they ain't got a shot. I'm going to go ahead and get my revenge, man. So I thought that was a cute little cherry on top for the victory. And in the press conference, you can see that he felt real good about what he did, man. How you feel about that, man?
Well, no, because I don't really mind it. I can understand why refs stop it, because I mean, these are grown-ass men. Some of them can be a bit violent and it can lead to a lot of ugly scenes. But personally, for me, if you talk, you better back it. You better back your talk. And for me personally, I don't mind it, but I can understand why they try to kick it out of the league, the taunting, because it can lead to, you know, one example is Tlaib, who used to play for New England and Denver. I'm not going to lie to you, I wouldn't want to taunt him. Like, he shot himself with a gun. Like, that, you know, the dude's crazy. Like, if I'm taunting him, he could probably just come after me after the game. So I can understand why. But I've got no problem. At the end of the day, look, you know, Tyreek Hill, he did it to them.
He flipped, he backflipped
and they did the peace sign. You're going to get it. And people remember that. It's like the same thing with the logo. So I don't mind that. But for me, that defense was legit. It played well. No quarterback. I say, you know what? I think the only quarterback that could have done better in that time was probably Lamar Jackson, because he runs the ball a lot. So they probably would have had to account for his running. But really and truly, Kansas, I mean, they need to get a running back. They've not actually drafted well since they lost Kareem Hunt. Well, they let Kareem Hunt go. Yeah, it's just all over the place. They need to sign a good quarterback. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is his
quarterback running, or running back.
He's a good running back. You know, the guy, but he's too short.
I mean, he's a rookie.
He's too short as well for me. He's too short.
He was a rookie. I thought he had a pretty solid. I mean, being short as a rookie doesn't like stomp your career. You kind of hide behind the offensive line and then see a hole. And when you see that hole, you're gone.
I agree.
But I think that they just went away from running the ball. They have a Shady back there. Not Shady, y'all. I'm sorry. They had
Le'Veon Bell.
They have Le'Veon Bell.
But Le'Veon Bell didn't look like he was. He didn't really, you know.
But it wasn't a game plan. Remember, he got 2 weeks of a game plan. I think Andy Reid was distracted. I think with his son and the car accident, and obviously him hurting people, I think that was a real distraction to the team. Andy Reid came out and said he wasn't himself. His team wasn't prepared, and it looked that way. And usually, an Andy Reid team, even you were touting this, and a reason why you kind of picked Kansas City is that Andy Reid after a bye week is usually has a very high percentage, a win percentage. So I can understand why you think Andy Reid would have been prepared. But even Andy Reid said some of this stuff threw him off. Who knows if the travel. I think we're making excuses. I don't want to take that away from Todd Bowles and Tampa Bay. But I don't think Kansas City was prepared. And I also have to say, I do agree with Max Kellerman on the point that he did make that. Kansas City was kind of like playing with danger a lot. You know, a lot of times they had to come from behind. This defense wasn't one that you trusted a lot. And they also had discipline issues, but they were winning. So some of those things get skated under the rug. And in the Super Bowl, those ugly monsters came to head. And I think some of it bit them in the tail. And this is where the buck stopped. And all the bleeding came out. And Tom Brady is that quarterback. He is big enough to make you that nervous and scared, even at 42, that will make you mentally make mistakes. And we saw Kansas City do that all game long.
Who impressed you the most in the game?
Who impressed me the most? I'm good one. Who impressed me the most? The defense collectively, I would have to say. I don't think we expected them, even with Kansas City's issues and Kansas City, the quarterback with a turf toe and offensive line. We didn't expect that Tampa Bay's defense would be able to still do this. You know, I know they were getting better in the latter part, especially after their bye week. They started to really, really hit it. But this is Kansas City. This is a prolific offense. So we expected them to do something, you know. I'm not saying the defense would have just flatlined, but we expected them to at least stay in the game. But the defense was dominant, man. That was been my biggest surprise of the game, how the defense played.
Yeah, I think I second on that, to be fair. I was surprised at how well the defense played. Don't get me wrong, you know, since the bye, Brady had time to implement his offense. He had time to implement his ideas, and they were unbeaten after the bye. But to see what the defense was able to do, like, usually Mahomes would at least be able to score a touchdown. He barely got into the end zone throughout the whole game. And so for me, that was really good. I thought the schemes from Kansas City was quite poor. It smacked a little bit of arrogance, in my opinion, in that regards. And I think it humbled Kansas City, because had Kansas City won, there would have been an arrogance. They already had an arrogance about them, a swag, but with a small hint of arrogance. But now, I think that's not going to happen. If they had won, I think it would have been blown out to proportion, where they would have felt invincible, and they would have probably skated it like the Golden States, you know, when they had Kevin Durant. And I don't think that would have been a good thing for the league. Also, Kansas City get too many penalties anyways during the season. That needs to be addressed going forward. You can't be doing that. What surprised me the most, I'll say, actually, wasn't even the defense, was how bad Kansas City looked. Andy Reid's never usually that unprepared. Usually can scheme and can change things around mid-game. They had the whole second half. They didn't really plan or change things around. They started off with the run, didn't work. But just the way Kansas City approached the game, they acted like they've never been to the Super Bowl before. And that's what surprised me the most, actually. Because the way they were giving the penalties, the way they were losing their nerves, the way that it's tense. And I was like, you've been down before, just last year in the Super Bowl. Relax, you got Mahomes, you can do this. But it was just on uneasiness about them. And they never really looked like they could win the game ever. Like, they could have played in the UK for anything.
But how much do we attribute that to the fear that Tom Brady actually brings. Patrick Mahomes has only lost two playoff games. I wonder who there are to. They are to Tom Brady, bro. And there's something about that. And if I believe Tom Brady etched probably himself as the greatest quarterback ever to play this game, Patrick Mahomes, because he was able to win a ring so young. And we can probably think his career is probably going to go health-wise another 10, 12 years or so. Might have a chance to be a part of that conversation. But I think the fact that Brady beat him twice, beat him this year at 43, and I think it kind of, he has to do a whole lot of chasing. He has to do a whole lot of greatness now to even be a part of that conversation.
Brady winning seven definitely made him the GOAT for a QB. And next week we've got Nat Coombs on, so make sure you guys listen to that, because we'll be joining Nat and we'll be putting a question to Nat and to the team of who do we think is the GOAT in sports. And we'll love to sort of get people's definitely message us on Insta, or send us messages beforehand. Give us your thoughts on who you think might be the GOAT for sports in general. But we're going to move on, and we're sadly going to talk about the Texans. Now, firstly, I'm sad because, you know, my guy Jamie has now resigned from the Texans. So the Texans have lost their president. J.J. Watt, breaking news, has decided to, well, basically he asked to be traded, you know, or released. Not even traded, asked to be released. I thought Houston could probably have tried to go for a trade. Didn't happen. Deshaun Watson has put in a transfer request, or trade request, I should say. So, overall, the Texans organization just seems like they're in shambles. Chris, what do you make of JJ? What do you make of them losing the Texans, their president? What do you make of the whole Deshaun situation? Hey, talk to me, because right now I feel like I'm not even a Texan fan.
I think
fan.
The Texans is a fire sale down here. Whatever is happening at the top, it's just not good for them at the moment. When JJ Watt is released and Deshaun Watson is begging to be released and doesn't plan on returning, now that has soured so much, it kind of tells you that the organization is under fire. You know, Texas CEO Cam McNair is like, there's misinformation in terms of like with Watson wanting to stay with the team and they look forward to having him back. And I'm like, what is going on? It feels like a bit of Trumpism, you know, with fake news running around. So I'm not sure if they're living in the same reality that we are, because we've seen it even from before this year with what happened in the offseason and how they just made horrible GM decisions, you know, and then they got rid of that GM, and now they're dealing with the sins of doing that, you know. So I'm not sure what's going to happen moving forward. It doesn't look good. Their stars want out, bro. I mean, it just doesn't look like this is a place where people are going to want to go and want to succeed. I think the J.J. Watt one is pretty big with the release of him. He does need to go somewhere different. I think he's a star, but he's, like you said, like you like to say, wasted talent over in Houston. You know, he's big in the community, but in terms of on the field, the team has let him down. The organization has too.
Where would you want J.J. to go?
I think in this latter part of his career, he's going to probably need help on the offensive line, but he could definitely play for a Super Bowl contending team. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say he's going to run to Tampa Bay, because their defensive line is pretty solid. But
I mean, to be fair, they do need to pay certain
players, right? Players, so I think Jacksonville got the bread, and they probably need that particular leadership in their locker room to probably take them over to the top with their young players on the defense. I think they're a good team. And obviously, you know, Seattle loves to wash up old guys and make them look good again. And they're always defensive minded in terms of making sure that they can hit. So Seattle is probably a good call, but it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure when it comes to defensive ends late in their career, I'm not sure how much of an impact they make. So I'm looking at all the other intangibles that he brings to the table with that little bit more juice that he has in terms of as a player. And if he gets on a team that can actually win,
you know, and go to the Super Bowl, I think you get a little bit more out of J.J. Watt. He just also has to stay healthy, too.
Yeah, see, for me, the Texans are a shambles. With the whole Jamie and the president situation, he went out. They paid millions for search agency to find them to find them suitable candidates for the head coaching search. Came out with Omar Khan from the Seattle Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers. And then they had Lewis Riddick as well, who's an ESPN analyst. Those are the two shortlists that they pay people millions of dollars to find. Jamie's like, let's go with these guys. It represented a new change in the organization. It also represented more diversity in the organization. No. What did Kyle McNair do? Wanted to go for the guy up in New England, Nick Caserio, who, first of all, can we just establish, the Patriots can't draft well. How are you going for someone who is the head of player development and drafting, and he doesn't even, and the Patriots, give me last time the Patriots drafted a Hall of Famer, Gronk. Mm. That was the last time. So, you know, for me, it's a situation of you've hired the wrong person, you had your eye on him. There's this love fantasy with this Houston Texans and New England. And given what's happened with Tampa Bay, someone in the organization should have said out and said, look, yeah, I'm sorry, New England might not be the thing. It might be Tom Brady, it might not be New England, because New England right now are poor. They didn't make the playoffs. Brady's made the playoffs in his first season in a new team, and he's won the Super Bowl. Someone should have said something. For me, that for me is a bit of an alarming flag. So that's why Jamie left, basically. And also they fired the one of their ops guys, or sort of ops manager, I think, or kit guy. They also fired their VP of communication, who's widely regarded one of the best VPs in the league. So, you know, when you've got that, there's the turmoil behind that. You now have JJ Watt, who apologizes to Sean Watson, wants to ask to be released, not even traded, released. The Houston Texans are a shamble of an organization.
He apologized. What? Who happened?
JJ asked to be released.
No, you said something about an apology or something like that. I'm not sure. He apologized to Deshaun Watson. Did I hear that right?
Oh, no. Sorry. I don't know if I said that. No. But no, I mean, they should apologize to freaking Deshaun Watson. No, what I meant is JJ apologized to Deshaun.
That's what I was asking. What was that about? Yeah.
So at the end of the game, in the last game of the season, JJ came out and we heard him say, I'm sorry, Deshaun, for wasting your year. Deshaun said, don't worry about it. And it's like, nah, like, we wasted a year of your career. Basically, they wasted the prime. Like, you know, you got the guy who led the league in passing yards without a bona fide receiver, without a bona fide number one receiver. And he did bits. So for me, the Texans are a shamble of organization. I know Deshaun is not going to play there again. They've now lost their face of the organization in JJ, who's been the stable face of the organization for about 10 years. I think we've got Deshaun. They're losing their potential new star. Mate, I want Deshaun to go to Miami. I've really said that on the bandwagon. I would love to see him, Brian, and Brian Flores team
up. You just want to get that four Dolphin jersey. You can get down to Miami and flex a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Because I look at this and I'm like, the Dolphins have the third pick. They have Tua. Tua hasn't convinced a lot of people in the organization. It's okay to admit you've made a mistake. Look at what Arizona did. They made a mistake with Josh Rosen and they drafted Kyler Murray the next round. Take Deshaun Watson. I would rather take proven commodity in this league than a person like, I still got maybe... Deshaun Watson, I already said it to you, I think he's the best young quarterback in the league. I think he's better than Patrick Mahomes. I know people are going to, you know, out me for that, but that's my personal belief. With him, with that defense, and they sign up some weapons, mate, you know what I mean? I think that's going to be a promising stuff. Because for me, I don't see the Jets. The Jets aren't viable. Why are you going to a shambles of another organization... From one organization that's a shambles to the Jets, which are another shambles of organization. Yes, they got almost 100 million in draft capital and they got picks, but it doesn't make a difference. The Jets are terrible. They've always been terrible. You don't know what Robert Saleh is going to do. You might like him, but he's an unproven head coach. Brian Flores has proven that he can win. So for me, go there. They've got the pieces. I would like to see that happen. I don't want the Panthers either. I just want to see him team up to an organization that actually cares outside of just winning football games. So that's it for me in that respect. Rant over, because you know everyone knows I love Deshaun Watson.
This man Deshaun loved it. Did you hear that, Deshaun? I just had to sit back and take that. I hope he comes to the Dolphins too. That's my
take. Yeah. Well, JJ, Mate, the thing you said, Seattle is actually not a bad shout because we lacked pass rushers, properly pass rushers. I know we signed Carlos Dunlap mid-season, but we lacked that. So that's not a bad ass shout. I know they talk about Green Bay. I think Green Bay, for me, I think they're going to need to sign a new running back because I don't think they're going to get Aaron Jones.
I feel he's going to end up somewhere like Arizona or something like that. Right?
I would like to see him actually at Seattle because I think that's a good shout. The Rams maybe, but I don't think the Rams have the cap space for that. And I think if I'm going to be out there, I wouldn't mind seeing him at the Steelers or the Ravens, mate.
You thinking teaming up with his brother?
Team up with his brother, playing that scheme. You got the Ravens. I wouldn't mind either one, to be fair. I think it's going to be interesting.
He could end up in Baltimore. That's not another. That's also another place. New England too, if you see how that goes. But I do feel that he's going to go to a team with a structure, obviously a structured organization, and with a chance to win.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to go for a team that's going to I think he has to go for a team that's piping to win, that's all close to win.
Yeah, he's not going to do like Derrick Rose and go to the Knicks.
No. Mate, another one that might be is the 49ers, you know? You know, that might be a good shot as a rotational between what they have right now. And they've got Bosa coming back, so I think that's a good shout. But look, the Texans are a mess of organization. I do not pray for them. I do not care. But we are going to move on to my team, Seattle. Now, Russell Wilson has come out, went on the Dan Patrick show and said, basically, you know what? Are Seattle going to, you know, trade you? And he was like, it's up to Seattle. He's made some, you know, sort of rumors and murmurs and sort of there's just some discontent about the offensive line. He has been the most sacked quarterback since he entered the league. But Chris, do you think Seattle owes it to Russell to maybe make him more involved in the organization decisions? And two, should Russell Wilson want out of Seattle?
This is where it gets dicey when it comes to the NFL, and sometimes when we talk about legacy and we talk about the quarterback position and what it means to a franchise and what it means to the organization and the city and a whole and Seattle and what Russell Wilson was able to do. Why should Russell Wilson want out of or the organization probably want? Because it doesn't seem like the organization is backing Russell a lot when I hear these conversations of him and so on. So I'll let you dive because that's your team. I'm just comparing it to like to the winning aspect. Russell Wilson has been very much as much inspirational in them winning just as the Legion of Boom and his consistency in terms of almost sometimes having to do everything for that team. And I almost feel like he's should be in the same position and just as revered in Seattle and by the organization like Green Bay is with Aaron Rodgers. They got the same amount of rings. Actually, Russell Wilson has been to more Super Bowls, if you ask me. And I think he comes to play with his mentality, with his leadership every time. They're never out of it, you know? So why is he not revered more? Why is he not getting more help? Why is he not looked upon as that legacy quarterback that we want to keep and want him to retire here, i.e. the Dan Marinos, you know, I would say Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, so on and so forth. Why is he not now being looked that way? You know, Tom Brady with New England for that long period of time, just doing everything that we can to build around him and do things for him and so on and so forth. I just feel like there's a problem sometimes that organizations get tired of the reason why they're even relevant. And I don't know if that's an American thing. I don't want to play the race card in this and say, you know, Russell doesn't get a seat at the table and get revered that way. I don't even want to play that. It's other quarterbacks get that too. Tom Brady got ushered out the back door pretty much. So, and you see what he did. So I think that sometimes that organizations and quarterbacks get into this fight, especially after rocking with each other for a long time. And I think Russell is there now. So I would love to see him stay in Seattle, become a Hall of Famer in Seattle, and retire a Seahawk.
You know, I don't actually think it's down to race, to be fair, because I think it's actually down to location more so. Because you look at, You know, what Patrick Mahomes is doing, yes, I know he's mixed. But you look at Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson is becoming revered in Houston. Like, more fans are actually supportive of Deshaun than of the organization. So I don't think it is actually a race thing. And like you said, Brady got ushered out the door. I think it's literally because of where Seattle is probably the furthest place away from everything in terms of the US. I know you got the home of Amazon in Seattle, but Washington itself as a state is really outside of Seattle. What do you have? And Seattle's always raining. It's not really, like, from, I'm talking as in from a UK point of view. Someone who's not in the US.
That's what it sounds like.
No, no, I'm being real with you though, Chris. From a US, from a US point of view, you might disagree. But from a UK point of view, if you're talking about someone from the UK, name me the biggest cities, name me the places that you want to be, name me the markets, yeah? You've got, obviously, California. You've got Texas because of how big they are. You've got Florida, you've got the New York, and you've obviously got Boston because they've had such success in the Celtics and the Red Sox and
Patriots.
You know, you've got again New York, you've got Chicago, you know, even Tennessee is becoming a big organization. I mean, in terms of a big destination, but Seattle, not really. You know, where they play, they're on the West Coast. You know, the time difference, they're behind most places if you're talking about central or eastern states of the US. I think it's location more so than anything else, because if Russell was to go to New York with Sierra and he does what he does with the Jets, yeah, we're having a different conversation. Trust me,
So you're saying location is the reason why Russell may want to be traded or want to get out of there, not anything to do with the offensive line or his weapons.
Well, no. Because... I'm not saying that. I'm saying location is one of the reasons why Russell's probably not seen as elite as he should be. Now, the numbers speak for itself. He's probably the best dual threat quarterback since Steve Young. I think he's not seen, obviously now this season, but before this season, I don't think he was seen as... You know, I think when people talk about like their top five quarterbacks, Russell was never really in the conversation.
I don't know about that. I think he may not have been at the top all the time because we say that he, you know, he's short, and these are the things that they gotta like deal with the rest of their life. But I think Russell Wilson, from the way I watch football, I just disagree with you a little bit on this one. This man is revered around here, bro. People know that when you face Russell Wilson, that you have to come with it, and he's going to play until the end of the game, and he's going to play for 60 minutes. I don't think location, especially in the game of football, has anything to do with how people revere you. Josh Allen is getting mad love. He plays in Buffalo. Like, that's not, I know it's in New York, but that's not the big market in New York, you know? So,
yeah, fair enough. I think it's more so because people maybe, you know, Seattle, I'm a bit Seattle fan, innit? Seattle isn't seen as like a major team. My impressions of it is just where it's located. It's located pretty far from everywhere. You know? Yes, you can argue Arizona isn't, but Arizona is next to Texas, so they still get that, you know, coverage, if that makes sense. For example,
so you feel like they're like the stepchild that's way out there, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's why. Like, I've always rated Russell in it, but I think that's it, you know, because you know, you look at it before this season, even before last season, they didn't even get any MVP votes, and so even then, you know, it's a legion of boom. They had to make a lot more noise to be noticed. So I think it's all of that. But look, do I think, mate, the offensive line has been shambles for a long time. You can't be the most hit quarterback in the league. And, you know what I mean, Brady's played almost twice as long as you, and he's been hit less times, you know, in totality. So it's one of those situations where, like, I do understand his frustration. It also baffles me because Pete Carroll wants to run the ball more. He likes to run the ball. But in order to run the ball, you need a good offensive line. And he's never really invested properly in offensive linemen. He's never really drafted high, you know, historically speaking, when it comes to offensive linemen in terms of round one, round two. So it's disappointing. But for me, I think he's going to stay there. Now, do I think there is some pressure from his wife? I mean, Sierra is a star. Sierra is Sierra. I'm not going to lie to you. If I was a Sierra, would I take New York or Cali over even Texas, where I'm from, over Seattle or Florida? You best believe it.
Oh, you hoping that the wife influence run up in here, huh? You're like, hey, honey, I think we had this cold gray area. We need to go somewhere sunny with us popping. You know that? I can rock with that. You know, happy wife, happy life. You know, like, you never know.
True.
You know, so that'll be interesting to see. I would like to see him in the bright lights of a new organization leading some troops. His message should probably be getting old in Seattle. And I know that happens after a certain time, especially in this new generation, you know, of hearing this. I don't know how many people just get to be the alpha dog over a long period of time. Remember, this guy started from his rookie career. He didn't have to wait. He didn't have to sit behind anybody. So this is his organization for real. So it'll be interesting how his message now in that organization is being resonated positively, or people are probably like tired of it. That's an interesting take too.
Chris, I'm going to put this out there because you know what? Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on this. But I think this season more so, Tom Brady has changed the face of the league, and I'll explain my point to the listeners.
Okay,
bear with me. Before Brady left. Brady was from New England. There was the whole talk of the Patriot way, Patriot system. Tom Brady there, he's there for, you know, 20 years and so forth. And, you know, they won success, but it was seen as a tandem of both of them. You know, it's just the Patriot way. It's just the Patriot way. Tom Brady's got the success because it's the Patriot way. Tom Brady moving to Tampa, choosing his destination. Granted, they were a young team, but they were super talented across the board. You know, we both agree on that. He went to Tampa Bay. And for me, if they didn't have Jameis Winston, they would have probably been a playoff team. But they went to Tampa Bay anyways. And what Tom was able to achieve in Tampa Bay, get to the playoffs, win playoff games, get to the Super Bowl, I think it put a lot of quarterbacks on high alert. And I explain this, and I'll explain it this way, because think about it. You have the GOAT at New England. He thinks the system, he thinks the organization. He leaves, doesn't get enough credit. Because that's what he did. He left because he didn't get help. He didn't get enough credit. So, again, if it reminds you of any quarterbacks, think about it. He then goes to Tampa, chooses his destination, chooses where he wants to go. He tells the organization, I want these weapons. I want Gronk. I want AB. I want Leonard Fournette. Gets them to the Super Bowl, wins the Super Bowl. I think a lot of quarterbacks are now looking at it like, I'm in a shit organization. Sorry for my language. Organization's not listening to me. I don't get any input. I've performed to the point where you know I'm your franchise quarterback, I might do a Brady. Let me go and do a Brady. Also, Brady won at 43. I want to play this to this long. With the way modern science is, with the way the medicine is, with the way the quarterbacks don't get hit so much, a lot of quarterbacks are like, I can play into my 40s. You know, you've got Aaron Rodgers now coming out saying we can play into the 40s. I know Drew Brees is talking about retirement, but he might do one more year. Big Ben still wants to play another year. You know, Russell Wilson's come out saying he wants to play into his 40s. You best believe Mahomes and all these guys want to play to their 40s. I think Brady's changed that now. A lot more quarterbacks understand the power they have.
I the power of playing into your 40s is going to be a individual basis. A lot of people can say a lot of things, but trust me, Father Time is still undefeated, and there's certain people that are able to eclipse a little bit longer time with Father Time, and Tom Brady has proven that he's able to do that. Don't get me wrong. Let's be real. Tom Brady isn't the most athletic quarterback. You know, he's not running around back there. He's his passes to the outside, his 10-yard cuts aren't as bullet as they are. He is changing the game like most veterans and older guys do. When Jordan started to have to adjust into his 30s, into his mid-30s and late-30s, that's when the jumper came out, you know? That's when the fadeaway was just untouchable. He wasn't trying to dunk on people, reverse layup. He changed his game, and then he changed probably his diet and so on, and all these particular things that are life-changing. So I believe Tom Brady did that and is able to now elongate his career. But this is the biggest part about it. Him playing in at 43 is already remarkable, whether he had championships or not. I'm talking about being a starter of an NFL team at 43 years old and being successful at it, to me, is already a job well done. Not only does he do that, he comes to a team that lacked leadership. Yes, they had the talent, but they didn't know how to win. He came, checked that box, boom. Not only did he do that in terms of the leadership, he was able to be a part of the coaching staff and tell them, hey, man, I need these guys in my locker room on this team because I know how to lead them and they will win and work with me. Talking Gronk, A.B., and so on and so forth. Remember, Bruce Arians didn't want A.B. He was like, he doesn't fit in our locker room. And Brady was like, oh, yeah, he does. You know, and he vouched for him and A.B. came through and delivered for him. So that says so much about Tom Brady just in this one season. Let's not even talk about, all right, the regular season is a regular season. We can say, obviously, it's a team game. But when you have to go into New Orleans and beat the Saints, when you have to go to Green Bay and beat Aaron Rodgers, and then you have to beat the next Hall of Fame quarterback that's playing right now to be in Patrick Mahomes, and you able to wipe them all out, bro. I think this by itself, this season alone, is a Hall of Fame season for Tom Brady. Just this season by itself. Not even talking about how sticking it to New England, how good that felt, and killing the conversation of I'm a system quarterback, yo. Brady won the Super Bowl. Belichick didn't make the playoffs. In the first season out, it's not like both of them didn't do well and we're trying to see what's going on. Brady did it. Belichick didn't. That, to me, is a big deal. And that tells me that puts a big hole in the whole system quarterback thing because of what Tom Brady did. At 43, leaving that organization in one season, straight up. Best story ever. I'm sorry. Best story ever.
Mate, but what about my point? What about my theory that I think Brady moving to Tampa has now
changed. Oh, his Tampa changes the game. Yeah, it does change the game.
The perception of what quarterbacks. Yeah, yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I also think sometimes it's false hope. Look at this, bro. No one is even close. It's Brady 7, everyone else 1.
I get that, but I think that's the thing, though. People are now looking at 4 quarterbacks. Once you've got that big contract, once you've been paid like Russell Wilson has been paid, the Patrick Mahomes, the Deshaun Watson. Okay, now that you've got that security, because you're a quarterback, you have that security. I want the rings. Because let's not lie, as a quarterback, you're making money regardless. You're making minimum 20, 25 million. You're making generational wealth. Like, I might sound a bit like an idiot for saying this, but there isn't much difference between 25 million and 35 million in the grand scheme of things of okay, do I want to make 25 million but win 7 chips, or do I want to then now, you know, make 35 million and win nothing? And I think more quarterbacks are now starting to look at their legacy. They're seeing what Brady has done. I think, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm actually better than Brady. I think I could do better than Brady. And I think that ego is now like, I want to do it. And now with Brady leaving and showing it's not a system, more quarterbacks are going to think, because, you know, before everyone was like, oh, if I was in New England, I would be winning just as many chips. Now it's like, no, it's Brady.
A lot of people said that. That's what I'm saying. And he had to leave to prove that point, that it's the player, bro. Yeah, the system is nice and we all need something to play that we all know what we're doing. But players have to make those plays and they have to think on the fly and they have to know their players and those intangibles. And I think that's where Brady felt disrespected in New England, where you didn't think that I was helping the system, that my intangibles mm-hmm. were the things that allowed the system to build and grow. And I did that, not a quarterback. You understand what I'm saying? So I think when he felt disrespected, he took all of that. I would love to hear the story in a documentary of how he felt in terms of like proving his point to, let's be real. I went through his thread on Instagram and I couldn't believe that he played Many Men as one of his soundtracks by 50 Cent on it. Many Men Watch Death Upon. You know New England didn't like that. You know Belichick don't feel he's gonna probably come back and try to and win the next 4. But I don't know about these quarterbacks. These quarterbacks can try, they can want to. It's a good bar to reach because Brady has set that. But I don't think they will. I think football is that hard. I think Brady's been blessed to be healthy most of his career. And he's been blessed to, you know, have that staff around him. But at 43, this season, it puts all of that to rest, man. And I think other quarterbacks have to realize that either A,
they get on the train and they try to win more championships and they try to figure out how it gets done, or they just all pay homage. One of the two.
Yeah, I think so. I think Brady. I will stick to that theory. I think Brady's now given more quarterbacks the ownership to now leave, because before, quarterbacks never talked. Once they were drafted for an organization, they usually stayed that organization. You had, it was very rare to do a Drew Brees and leave organizations. It was very rare to do, that was it. Like, and then obviously once the quarterbacks hit his, what you think his peak, Joe Montana, Philip Rivers, Brett Favre, what's his name again? Peyton Manning. Then you, okay, he goes to another team. But it's not, it wasn't expected to be like, oh, no, I want to trade. How many times have we seen quarterbacks in the organization to then be like, I want out? And we're now starting to see a little bit more. We're starting to see it more. And I think
in their prime too. Like, well,
Brady's getting seven. I need to get more. I want to get more.
So do you feel that's where Russell Wilson is? Do you feel that now? Because Russell Wilson's kind of in this.
He's in prime.
I would call this his prime.
Yeah, I think he's in. He's in apex prime. I'll say that. I think you got your prime, which will be a
Right. So do you think? So I was saying, do you think that, to your point with Brady leaving, do you think that this is what Russell's saying? Instead of being the legacy quarterback and being somewhere for 15 years and then them not wanting me after 15, I go to play somewhere for the next two. I.e. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, recent history. But do I do it now instead of waiting till then and being someone's kind of like trophy quarterback for a season or two? Do I leave now? Do I see an opportunity where, let's say Russell Wilson's like, I want to go to Miami now. Let's say he wants to. Or do you think that is cool for quarterbacks of his stature to do in their prime, or do they do the legacy thing?
Well, you know, he spoke about it and said like it pissed him off that he was sitting next to Roger Goodell instead of being there. I think the fact he's been to two Super Bowls, and he's now seeing Brady going to what, his 10th Super Bowl, I think that pisses him off, because you look at it, it's like Russell Wilson believes he's as good as any quarterback there, and I think, you know, he's like, look, I've been getting hit. Brady doesn't get hit. He's playing to his 40s. I want to be doing this, because I think a lot of people are like, once you're out of football, a lot of guys go bankrupt, they go, you know, they get depressed. You ain't got much for that. So you want to try and extend your career. And with the way quarterbacks are not getting hit now, you can do that. So, yeah, I do think, you know, him seeing Brady in the Super Bowl and him sitting next to Roger Goodell, I think it did spark him to be like, no, this is, I can't hold my tongue anymore. Because we know Russell's a very much a company man, you know, which is not a bad thing, but I think he's done to keep
serving. So you thinking that they could? So you thinking these quarterbacks, these main quarterbacks, these superstar quarterbacks, should take their careers into their own hands if they don't see, kind of like Deshaun Watson, take my career into my own hands because I don't see it. And that would be new for the NFL. The reason why I'm saying that, I think they've seen the NBA guys do it. The NBA guys get pretty much whatever they want. The superstars, that is. And I think and it's kind of trickling over to the NFL now a little bit in terms of like Stephon Diggs was able to do it, you know, get his way out of Minnesota. So we're seeing the superstars in the NFL kind of figure out how to do this. And I can't wait for the day that there'll be some backlash, you know, with a player trying to move and the organization really trying to still hold on to him and just punish him. So
I mean, there could be backlash,
but I do think it's moving on.
I think there could be backlash, but I think the NFL is the last of the leagues to do it, if we're being honest with ourselves, because NBA have been doing it for ages. But then let's not forget, college has been doing it, because you could be a walk-on. Baker Mayfield is the best example of someone's like, I'm not getting game time. You know what? I need to think about my career. I'm going to bounce. I'm going to go to another college. Russell Wilson did the same thing. Did he not? Wisconsin and NC State. Yeah. So we're starting to see that more. It's just we don't really do it in the NFL because they pay so much, and because quarterbacks usually stay with the organization. But then now with Deshaun Watson's leaving the Texans, that's not even going to happen. It's 100% going to happen. But if you now have Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, and even have Matt Stafford, I don't rate him that highly, but you put that. That's four top. I don't want to say top 10 because I don't put Matt Stafford's top 10, but in terms of talent, four top 10 talented quarterbacks on the move in one season. That in itself is going to shift everything around.
I agree.
It's going to shift everything around. But guys, thanks for listening to it. I know it's been a bit of a longer take a longer episode than usual. Maybe we just had a lot of, we had a lot of pent up stuff to talk about the Super Bowl and everything else in that regard. Make sure you check our new episodes from next week. We've got some specials. We've got Nat Coombs, ESPN writer for the NFL, UK broadcaster. He's going to be on the show. We might be having our guy Andre as well joining us. We also have a special from Across the Pond podcast. They'll be joining myself, Chris, and Carly to talk everything NBA. And just make sure we check us out on that one. But for next week, I'm really excited because myself and Chris and Nat, we're going to talk about who we think is the GOAT for sports. But we're also going to go through Colin Coward's top 10 influential sports stars. And for me, I've got a bit of issue because I think there is some American biasness, and me and Chris are going to probably have it out, but where they think that their American stars and their American stars are more popular. Put it this way, he put Steph Curry above Cristiano Ronaldo. That's all I have to say. We'll talk about that list in a little bit more detail. But guys, make sure you like and subscribe us. You know, we're getting a lot more traction on the Instagram page, so I appreciate it. We are now moving to our own Instagram, Spotify channel as well. So make sure you check out the Extra Time Sports. But just, we love you guys. Make sure you keep checking us out. And yeah, Chris, as always, it's been a pleasure talking sports with you, my man.
Love it, bro. Peace. We out, man.
Thank you for listening to Extra Time. Please remember to subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts at The Sports Heads for all things U.S. sports. Extra Time with Dan and Chris.